The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care, not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from
heaven. I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
Welcome to Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Thank you for joining us for this Tuesday broadcast. Dr. White is walking through the New Testament book of James in a series he is calling Shoe Leather Theology. James wrote a letter that is practical to the core, dealing with the rough and tumble reality of the Christian life. Before Dr. White begins, let me remind you that if you miss any portion of this broadcast, you can always catch it and all of our archives at randywhiteministries.org. But now, here's Dr. White to introduce today's teaching.
And as always, I'm so grateful that you have joined us today for Word for the World. I am Randy White, and as your teacher today, I want you to turn to the fifth chapter of James. For several weeks now, we have been walking through this ultra-practical book of James as he writes instructions to those of us who want to live a Christian life, and he tells us how to deal with the reality of Christian life. Now, when we come close to the end of the book, as we're about to wrap up this series, we see in James chapter 5, verses 13, 14, 15, and 16, he begins to tell us how to handle some of the extremes of life. Now, the good news is, we don't always live in the extremes. But the bad news is, all of us sometime live in the extremes. And he's going to speak to us about those who are suffering, about those who are stalwart, and about those who are sick. And I want us to begin today talking about those who are suffering. It's not a word just for the everyday sufferings of life, because some of you certainly have those, how to pay the bills, how to handle the children, the decisions you have to make. But this is a stronger word for that. When he says, is anyone suffering? He's saying, is anyone the recipient of the worthless evil of the fallen nature of man, and it has come down upon you? Now, for those of you who are experiencing that kind of extreme today, James has a message on how we're supposed to handle it. And I want you to tune in and follow along. Now, if you're not there today, I am saddened to say that someday you will be, because we do live in a fallen world, and sometimes the evil of this world comes our way. What to do when you're in these extreme positions of life. That's our subject today as we get right into the sermon. Let's consider James chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. And I want to talk to you today about handling extremes. Handling extremes. I'm glad, first of all, that most of life is not lived in the extreme, aren't you? Most of life is kind of normal. Whatever normal is, most of life is that, isn't it? I mean, normally, the alarm clock goes off, we get up, we're busy all day, we have a little breakfast, and then we're busy all morning, and then we have a little lunch, at which time we wonder what we're going to have for supper, and then we're busy all afternoon, then we have supper, and then we're busy all evening, and then we have a snack, and then we go to bed watching the news, learning how busy the world is. And that's kind of normal, isn't it? That's so sort of life for the average American. But every now and then we come to circumstances which are not normal. They're extreme. Here James gives a word for those who are living in the extremes. I hope you're not there today. Some of you may be, however.
And certainly all of us get there from time to time. Now, as we've been walking through James, we've noticed that on several occasions he has gathered certain groups of people around him, and he says, I've got a special message to give to you, an important word that I want to say to you. And he does so here again today for this matter. Because he begins in verse 13 and he says, is anyone among you suffering? He says, I want to talk to you especially. And then he says, is anyone among you cheerful? I want to talk to you. And is anyone among you sick? I want to talk to you. So he begins to gather them around. Let's look, first of all, if you will, to see who these individuals are that are gathered around. First of all, is anyone among you suffering? He asks for those who are suffering to gather around. Now, this is a strong word he uses for suffering as he gathers them around. It's not a word for the sufferings of daily life. You experience those kind of sufferings, don't you? Everybody has the everyday kind of suffering. I mean, we can get all in a pity party about all this, but the truth is I've got those kind of sufferings and you've got those kind of sufferings. You get up and your back hurts and you stub your toe and you can't find a blue sock and a black sock. They don't match. And that's your daily sufferings. Now, as it relates to those problems, the Bible says it this way. It says, bear your own burdens. You got those sufferings? Bear your own burdens. It's overflowing sufferings that we have from time to time in which the scripture says, bear ye one another's burdens. And there's actually a different word that is used there for that overload kind of burden. But the everyday kind of burdens we have, that's the one of whom the kind of burdens of whom the song says, you got problems, I got problems, all God's children got problems. Who cares? It's the kind of sufferings that you may have where you say, well, I got more money than I've got month. That's an everyday kind of suffering. It's not the word that's used here. That's not who he'd like a special word for. It's not the one who says, I'm having a hard time in a relationship with my boss. My boss doesn't like me, or I'm getting laid off of my job. Or it's not the kind of suffering even that says I'm having marriage problems. It's not the kind of suffering that says I'm having a hard time in school. My teacher and I aren't getting along. Now, those are everyday kind of sufferings that all people experience. But that's not the word that is used here. Here when it says, for those of you who are suffering, it's a strong word. The word suffering obviously comes up many, many times in the New Testament, but do you know that this particular word only comes three or four times in the New Testament? And it's a strong word. In fact, James has just used it. If you back up a page, you see in chapter 5, verse 10, he says, as an example, brethren, of suffering. Who's the example? He says, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. You need an example of the kind of suffering that this word is talking about. It says, consider the prophets. Now, what about the prophets? Hebrews says, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Now, that's the kind of suffering that he's talking about here. So, if you're just dealing with a stub toe, he's not necessarily talking to you. But if you're dealing with this heavy kind of enduring a hardship, then this is the suffering of which he speaks. In fact, Paul uses this term also in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, as he is writing and closing out his words to Timothy, or his second letter to Timothy. He reminds Timothy of how he's preaching the gospel, but in verse 9 he says, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. This is the message of suffering that Paul uses. The same word that James uses is, I suffer hardship. It is a word that speaks about suffering from evil people. So if you're out there and you are attempting to proclaim the gospel, you are attempting to witness, and there is one out there who has an evil spirit, and he is attacking you, he is persecuting you, he is putting you under a spiritual hardship and even a physical hardship because of the work of the gospel, that's who he wants to speak to here. So first of all, he comes together and he says, I want to speak to those who are suffering. Now the word here is kakopatheo. How's that? Sounds pathetic, doesn't it? Kakopatheo is the word, and it comes from two Greek words, actually. One is pathos, and pathos is the soul's diseased condition out of which lust springs. That's what the Greek word pathos means. That's bad enough in itself, but this is the combined word kakopatheo, and kako is to be worthless or to be evil. In fact, in James chapter 1, verse 13, the scripture tells us that when you are tempted, don't say you're tempted from God, because God cannot be tempted by kakos, by evil. So kakopatheo is this evil kind of work that comes out of an already depraved spirit. He says, if you are enduring the effects of kakopatheo, then I want to gather you around and I want to speak to you. So he says, first of all, I want to speak to those who are suffering.
Dr. White will be back in just a moment to continue these thoughts from his series, Shoe Leather Theology. We will send you the entire series of sermons, uninterrupted and unedited for time, for any donation you can give to our ministry. Our current free offer is Dr. White's sermon, Why You Should Be a Zionist. We will send it to you totally free of charge just for joining our mailing list. Dr. White is a committed supporter of Israel, and he thinks you should be too. This sermon will explain biblical reasons for pro-Israel Christian activity. Contact us today at our toll-free number to request this CD or to make a donation to receive the complete series from the Book of James. The number is 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. That is 1-855-437-9448. You can also get this offer at our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. Now, let's get back to Dr. White's teaching.
But there's a second group that he calls around there, and also in verse 13, he says, let me speak to those who are cheerful. But I'm going to use a different word here. I want to use this word stalwart. When you are suffering, that's an extreme. When you're stalwart. Now, how in the world would I go from the word cheerful to the word stalwart? See, here, cheerful, as it's used here, this Greek word's not really talking about being happy or being joyful, although a person who is fulfilling this word may be happy or joyful, but this word here, cheerful, is actually a verb. Any one of you who is carrying out this verb, he says, I want you to come around me, because here is an extreme. Now let's figure out what this verb is. Would you go to Acts chapter 27, verse 22, first of all. Here we have the story that Paul gives as he is on a ship that is in the midst of a storm, and they have done everything they can do to save the ship and to save their lives, and yet they are not making any headway, and the ship appears to be going down. And Paul, in fact, receives a word that the ship is going to come down. He receives a word from the Lord, and he says in Acts chapter 27, verse 25, he says this, therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. Keep up your courage. You know, that's the very same word that is given in James chapter 5, verse 13, when he says, is anyone cheerful? Cheerful. Now, wouldn't make a very good translation, would it, to say, hey, men, we're about to sink on this ship. Be happy and giddy. But it's the same word that he uses. The word is a word that means face what you have to face with courage and with strength and with conviction. Be courageous as you come into it. Back in Acts chapter 27 again, he comes down again in verse 25. as he says, be courageous, once again, in verse 22 and in verse 25. He says, keep up your courage, keep up your courage. That is, be of good cheer. Now, if you're still in Acts, turn back a couple more pages to Acts chapter 24, verse 10. And here we see the word used, not in its verb sense, but we see it used as an adverb. And Paul is giving a testimony about standing before the governor, Felix, and he comes to verse 10, and he says, when the governor had nodded for him to speak, Paul responded. Here's what he said. Knowing that for many years you have been a judge of this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. Now, do you think Paul was saying, boy, here I am, and I'm just all giddy about this day. I get to stand before the judge. Yeehaw! This is going to be fun. No, I don't think that's the approach that he took. I don't know if there was a happiness that was involved in it or a giddiness at all. But I do know that what Paul is saying is, I have been looking forward to the opportunity to be able to state my case before someone who has the authority. And I do it cheerfully because I know that you're a judge, that you're going to hear the case, that you're obligated to hear it with justice according to Roman law. And I know what the Roman law says. And so I gladly state my case before you. I am courageous as I stand before you. I do not have a spirit of timidity, but I have determined to come into this presentation with great courage and thus great cheer. Now, as the ship is sinking, he says, be courageous, be cheerful in the light of this sinking ship, because God has given a word that you can count on, and that word that is not a hair of your head is going to be lost in the sinking of the ship. The ship will be gone. He stands before the judge and he says, I'm courageous. Now we come into James and he says, is any of you cheerful? So the word is not, are any of you happy? Are any of you joyful? Are any of you just sort of giggling inside? I hope you are, by the way, but you may not be. But there are some of you who are facing circumstances in life that are more challenging than you could ever imagine, and yet God has given you more strength than you ever knew you had. And you are able to stand now before that enemy, and you are able to face it with courage. I think of this word when I think of David and Goliath. Here's Goliath coming out taunting and giving that challenge and looking down at David and said, who is this that he comes at me with sticks? Am I just a dog? And David looks at him and he says, I come to you in the name of the living God. And he faces it with cheer, with courage. So James says, if you're in that extreme that all the world is against you as you carry out your faith, and because of your faith you're having to suffer hardship, maybe even to the point of imprisonment, he says, I want to speak to you. You got to admit, that's kind of extreme, isn't it? I want to speak to those of you who are on that extreme. I want to speak to some more of you who are on another extreme. That is the extreme that you've decided you're just going to be able to face it, and you're going to be able to do it with God and with courage. Then he goes on and he calls together a third group in verse 14, where he says, is any among you sick? If any among you is sick, then I want to talk to you. I want you to gather around because I've got a word for you also. Now, this word sick can mean spiritually sick, or it can mean physically sick. And it can mean you have a weakness, or it can mean you're nigh unto death. Now, I've studied this, and let me just give you a disclaimer up front. You can go out and read lots of stuff on this passage, and you're going to find 102 different interpretations on the way it's taken. But I got to decide something, and so I'll tell you how I'm going to preach it. I think, in the context, that this is saying, I want to speak to those of you who are on your deathbed. You have the kind of sickness that it doesn't look like you're going to live through this. This is an extreme sickness. It's a sickness unto death. So three groups of people, he says, I want to talk to you who suffer, those of you who are stalwart, and those of you who are sick. Then he gives a word for each one of those. First of all, he says, if any of you are suffering, enduring hardship, then what's he supposed to do? Pray. If any of you suffer hardship, enduring hardship, pray. You know, in the context of where we are from verse 12, which we looked at last time, it's the context of impatience, really. And in verse 12, it comes to the end of that context, and I struggled with, do I put verse 12 with verses 1 through 7, or do I put verse 12 with verses 13, 14, 16, and on? And really, maybe it's one of those pivot verses, because verse 12 comes and says, in the light of all this pressure you're under and in the light of the impatience you may be having, he gives a word of warning and he says, do not swear. Don't swear. Well, you've got some choices and some options, don't you, when you come to that point that there is an evil person who has come up against you. You can go to swearing for one, or you can go to praying. He says, I've got a word for you. I want you to pray. Oh, lots of things that you could do. You could fight fire with fire, couldn't you? Well, if he's going to operate in this sort of evil manipulation, I can play that same game too. It takes two to tango, right? I mean, roll up the sleeves. Here we go. And you can begin to operate under the same set of standards that this evil person is operating of, out of their unredeemed emotions. You could do that even as a believer, couldn't you? And we've probably slipped into that before from time to time. You could say, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, and right now that's what I'm going to trust in. I'm going to buy my way out of here, or I'm going to beat my way out of here. But one way or the other, through hook or crook, I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to have the last word on this thing. You could do that when you're under that kind of a persecution. Or you can take James' advice, pray.
And I hope that you'll take James' advice, pray. When you're suffering, when you're stalwart, when you're sick, pray. As we continue this sermon tomorrow, we're going to see especially about the prayer of a righteous man. And we're going to see how this prayer and this solution that James gives us right here, pray. We're going to see what kind of person should pray, and we're going to see how he should pray, and we're going to see the manner of effect that that brings for someone who is under the evil pathos of this world, or has decided, I'm going to take this with cheer, or has some sickness that has come upon them in these extremes of life. How do we handle them? I hope you'll tune in tomorrow. And I'm sorry we have to break the broadcast right here and put this sermon into two separate broadcasts. And it just reminds me that one of the things that we can provide for you is these sermons on disc that could be given to you so that there is no interruption. And for any donation that you can give to us, we would like to send all 12 sermons of this James series. It's called Shoe Leather Theology, and all 12 sermons, for whatever donation that you can give, we'll get them in the mail to you right away. And these sermons, I think, will be a blessing to you and those that you share them with along the way. Now, as we continue in Word for the World, you join us tomorrow, and we'll talk about this praying for the suffering, when you're stalwart, when you're sick, pray. With that, let me lead us in a word of prayer. Our Father, these who are listening today, encourage them, bless them, strengthen them as they carry on the activities of the day. And especially I lift up those who are under extreme conditions. And I ask that you give them not only the patience to endure these conditions, the grace to see them all the way through as you gave to Paul, but also that through it all, their response would be to pray. That is my prayer in Jesus' name.
Well, we've run out of time for this broadcast of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. But before we go, let me remind you to call today and request Dr. White's free sermon CD, Why You Should Be a Zionist. I'll give the number in just a moment. We would also love to send you the entire series of sermons from this series, Shoe Leather Theology. You will be strengthened in your everyday faith by being able to listen to the sermons uninterrupted and unedited for time. We can send these to you when you give a donation of any size. Now, there are several ways to contact us to request the free Zionist CD or the Shoe Leather Theology series. The easiest is to just call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. You can also go to our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. And Dr. White would love to hear from you by email at randy@randywhiteministries.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Randy White, coming to you this morning with a special offer for my book, The Antichrist, What You Can Know and What You Need to Know. And this week only, we're taking a few minutes in these broadcasts to set aside our normal broadcasting to let you know of a special offer we've got. It's a 200-page book, The Antichrist. It tells all about the end times and especially about this man of lawlessness that the scripture says will be revealed. Now, this week only, we're offering you this book, The Antichrist, 200 pages for only $10. That includes shipping and handling for the 200-page paperback book that Morris Chapman, the former president and CEO of the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, says is a riveting read. Paige Patterson, president of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, says any pastor preaching or teaching on prophetic themes ought to read this book. Well, we want to get this book to you. O.S. Hawkins says, Randy White pulls back the curtain in hopes of helping us all recognize that worldly figure for who he is and what he will do. Read it and reap. I hope that you will read this book. $10, shipping and handling included, even the phone calls toll-free, and we're adding to this a 90-minute DVD. In which I'm teaching about the end times and the Antichrist. You can watch it on your television or watch it in your computer, and then you can go to the book and you can read more in depth the 200 easy to read pages about eschatology, end times, the Antichrist, and the coming days of tribulation. So the way you get it is you call us toll free, 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE, 1-855-437-9448. Now, when you first begin this as a book, you'll read chapter 1, How the End Will Come. Maybe along the way you have been confused about what's a premillennialist or a postmillennialist or an amillennialist. And I help in layman's terms to lay out these three views of millennialism and talk about why they are important and why they really are going to be the keys that determine what you believe about the Antichrist. So you're going to have a completely different understanding of scripture as a postmillennialist or an amillennialist than you will as a premillennialist. And so I lay out the facts and the cases for each and explain to you why I am unashamedly a premillennialist. And whether you know what you are or you don't know what you are, this will be a valuable chapter. It's just one of the chapters in the Antichrist, 11 chapters altogether. And once again, the book is going this week on this special, just to our listeners, a call-in only special for $10, shipping and handling included, DVD included along with the book. You want two copies? We're giving a second copy. That's two books, two DVDs for only $15. It really is a good offer, and we just want to get this in your hands. Call us right now, 1-855-437-9448.